Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggly.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dallas, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Yeah, what it is. It's your man, King Eric, the media assassin, and you're now tuned in to Off the Cuff Radio, live and direct. And this show is sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Jesse's Boutique, Core Financial, Fleetwood, and the Cotton Pickers, as well as Madman Entertainment and the Screwball Radio family. I got my host T-Max with the facts in the building.
What it do, y'all. This is another fantastic Friday night of OTC up in the building. Shout out to our co-host, Bill Austin, L.A. Chinchilla. I am the co-pilot of this fantastic flight on the fantastic voyage with King Eric the Ruler. We are live and direct, ready to get it. And King, go ahead and let everybody know about the most super talented, tremendously sweet young lady that we have on tonight. That is her first interview, and we're so honored to give it to her. Tell everybody about her, man.
Yes, indeed, man. This sweet young lady, man, very talented. She got her own brand in the works. A big shout out to Angel for helping us make this connection happen. See, one thing that we like to do on Off the Cuff Radio is we like to bring awareness to new talent. We love to give new voices their time to shine. I love interviewing the legends. I love giving the legends the platform. But at the end of the day, we're for the underdog. We're for the up-and-comer and the underachievers.
Absolutely.
And this lady right here, not underachievers, but overachievers becoming over-extra achievers, if you get my drift. So, without further ado, it's an honor to have her on the line. And she's also related to the legendary Beat Knockout, and she's going to chime more in on about that later on. So without further ado, let's also welcome BG Dassey as well as Angel on the line. Welcome, ladies, to Off the Cuff Radio.
Hey.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for having us.
Hey, we got a double dose of tremendous lovely ladies up on the net, on the waves, man. This is how we say, hey, booze, what it do?
What's going on?
Yes, hey. Yes. Just to clarify a couple of things, BG Dassey is actually the niece of BG Knockout. And
yes.
Angel Line Entertainment is, I am the CEO of the entertainment company, Marjay Angel. Just so no one's confused. And this is her first interview.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the livest platform on the net, and it's an honor to have you as a part of the archives and you building with us, and telling us about your journey and coming into this music business. Now, before we get started, man, I want to let people know that anybody want to chime in and chop it up with me. The call number is 516-531-9596. So, with that being said, tell us about yourself. Like, where were you born and raised?
Well, I was born and raised in Dan, Ohio, and LA. That's my second home. And I really like LA more, but Dan is cool. It's just cold out here. And I like to do modeling, my music and stuff, and acting. But I'm starting to take my music serious because I like to rap about a lot of stuff. Yeah.
And Daffy, I think there's a little bit of a delay, so if it's quiet for a minute, just give them a second.
No, you're good. You're good. I'm just making sure everything is processed because, you know, Blog Talk be kind of, you know, it be on its bipolar times, but everything is going good right now. So tell us how old you are and what made you start in the music business. Like, what made you want to get started?
I'm 21. I used to do music, like, when I was, like, 16 or 17, and then I stopped. And then it's, like, this year when I started hanging with my uncle more and seeing that he just was doing his interviews and music. So I wanted to start doing my new stuff here because I'm connected to a lot of famous people and I know a lot of famous people. And I was, like, because I ain't been getting booked for my modeling, and I don't know where I start my acting, so I'm like, let me just start doing music. Maybe I'm good at rapping or whatever. So I wanted to get that tryout.
That's what it
Everybody
is.
Everybody say that.
Go ahead.
You said what?
Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off, but go ahead.
Everybody say I got the bars and stuff, so I guess I'm just stick to my rapping for now.
Definitely. Now, one thing about it is coming into the game, it's always a challenge in reference of just, you know, finding your lane, but it's also exciting because that's who you get to discover in yourself as being an artist and how you persevere forward. Who are some of your influences that, you know, inspired you to rhyme, and how did you meet Angel along the way, Miss Angel Lyon along the way, in terms of y'all forming a bond with everything?
Well, I met Angel off of Instagram because I seen she did an interview with my uncle, and she be doing stuff with the Bone Thugs. I like the Bone Thugs a lot, and I followed her, and then I'm like, I see she do a lot of events and stuff, and I was interested in it, so I started messaging her, and she started helping me out with a lot of stuff, and I learned a lot of stuff from her.
And if I can add to that, if I can add to that, it's really funny because with everything I was going through in the business and dealing with the shows and all the stress, I was like, man, if there was another girl doing this that wanted help with the right heart, I would totally help her out and protect her from all of the, you know, pitfalls and challenges. And she reached out to me shortly after. So that, I believe, was a divine orchestration and total alignment. And she's been amazing to work with. Very young, very, very new at this, but very hungry. And on top of it, she's handling her business. She's doing her thing. So I'm really proud of her, and she's been a pleasure to work with so far. So thank you. She's helped me more than she realizes. So I wanted to add that.
Yeah.
Definitely. And do you have any
Definitely.
Music out or any up-and-coming events?
Well, I have a lot of songs out, but they're not, like, out, but I'm still working on to fix it. The only song that I got, like, out that's on YouTube is only one, but I feel like that was not it, but everybody likes the song. I feel like I got to remake it. But I'm working on an album and stuff, but I have a lot of songs that's about to be coming out soon.
That's dope. I mean, and what's the process like for you in terms of creating in reference to, you know, when you're in the studio? What's the studio session like for you in terms of inspiration, the vibe, you know, when you really get in that mood to compose? What's that whole thought process like?
Sometimes for me it's like so hard because I gotta make sure it sounds right, make sure the rhymes is right, and sometimes it could be frustrating. But I'll still be trying to make sure it goes right as I want it to go. I just got to be, like, a little more focused, and I got to work on my voice. Because when I rap, I'm just saying, like, I sound like a little kid.
And if I can add to that, the thing about Daffy, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you guys off.
Oh, no, go ahead, please. Go ahead, please.
The thing about Daffy is she's got a really great voice. The music that she does have available to hear is some of her older stuff. She has a really fun, you know, if I can compare her to anyone, it would be the Brat. She has that fun, you know, party vibe, and she's still, you know, getting used to writing new songs and writing more songs. So in that process, she does have a single called How Will I Know. We're trying to get that out at the end of April. But, yeah, she has a really, really fun sound I think everyone is going to enjoy.
Now, Angel, you're an artist as well, you know, in terms of being, you know, I mean, just being this multi-talent of, you know, tremendousness. Pretty much from the experiences that you have had in the game, yes, you're very welcome. From the experiences that you've had in the industry, especially being a woman, what is the wisdom that you have passed down to Daffy in reference to how to navigate those shark-infested waters of what goes on out there? Because it's brutal for men. We've heard the horror stories. So we know for women, it's especially savage. Yes.
It is difficult, especially for the ones who are really, really in it for the love of the music. Because, you know, let's just keep it real. In this business, we're surrounded by the groupies, you know, the people that just want to hook up with the stars because they're stars. And for for the few of us women who are really, really, we have a love for the music, it's hard because it can be confusing. You know, everybody is attractive. Everybody is, you know, and we're human. So it's okay to, you know what I'm saying, meet people or have relationships. But what I've learned in this business, you have to be very, 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 very careful and complete your projects. You know, you have to focus on what's important. Focus on the business. Don't worry about that other stuff until, you know, the task is complete. And, you know, God will put everything in order when everything is complete. So that's something I'm really trying to show Daffy, is to really be careful because she's gorgeous, she's young, she's innocent, she's talented, and there are sharks. This business is full of sharks. So as a woman, we have to stand strong, you know, and stay focused and complete the task. You know, we're here for a purpose. And then what the message is in the music, that's a whole nother story. You know, we can have fun, but music is very influential when it's put out properly. So we're taking that into consideration also. And she's so awesome. So we're having fun.
Yeah.
Now
also,
when you speak on the levels of... go ahead, King. Yeah.
Also, through it all, man, you know, correlating with that, you know, and navigating, understanding how to move business, about education, like, what do you study?
Like, I study for, like, you know, music, science. Let me see. That's why I really be into the most is science and music and acting.
So you're already working on that next vocation of vivacious. So in terms of, and we want to get back to what you were saying earlier about what the deal was in reference to the type of music that's, you know, being put out in reference to the energy with everything. Because we see a lot of things, especially this time. We're looking at a lot of rappers. Angel, you and me talked off air about this in terms of the type of music. Because a lot of people want to say hip-hop culture is destructive and it's horrible, and it's none of those things. But we do have an issue about the type of music in abundance that's being broadcast, and it does influence. We all agree with this. How important is it to you both in reference to making sure that the product that is put out is something that because we all love to have fun. We all love to, you know, get down. But it's also making sure that we're not putting out there anything that's going to be a magnet for madness and malignness.
Absolutely.
When you see some of the artists out here, you know, who, especially with the drill scene, hip-hop, not that we're criticizing drill rap, but when we see so many artists who a lot of their songs are espousing the worst elements of human behavior, and then sometimes reaping the unfortunate consequences of it, how important is it for y'all to really try to steer it in a more conscious and positive vibe? And where do you think hip-hop is right now in terms of the culture and the influence? Sorry, that was a little long.
Who do you want to answer first? Do you want to answer first, Daffy, or do you want me to answer?
You answer first.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because the album that I have coming out, and it's almost complete, is titled Spiritual Warfare. So basically what I've been noticing, because I do love hip-hop, I am hip-hop, you know, it's in my blood, but I've just noticed it's become trash. You know, sometimes, most of it, there are some good ones out there, but you know what I'm saying. What I see hip-hop, it's like we've had too much junk food. We're just at a place, at an age and an era right now where I think there's a lot of awakening taking place in the age of information. And I feel like with hip-hop, it's like junk food. We've been consuming junk food. You know, the women have been turned to men. They act like men. They're, you know, more masculine. The men are women, and everything's just been destroyed. So I feel like right now there needs to be a time of an awakening in hip-hop. I don't think it needs to be religiously, you know, reprimanded. But I think people need to realize we are in the midst of a spiritual warfare. You know, we're gonna get battle wounds. We are fighting. You know, we're gonna fall. But we have to get up and first of all recognize what's going on, because this is affecting and influencing everyone. And with Daffy, her being young, I don't expect her to be this big influence. You know, but I do want to kind of show her, hey, look at your pictures. They're beautiful. You don't have any makeup on. You're covered up in all of your photos, and you look absolutely stunning. You know, there's an inner light in you. Yes, you can have fun. You can be a little sexy. But let's try to show the younger women that you could be hard. You know, you're a BG. You could be strong. You could be sexy. But you can have self-respect and dignity and remind these women that we are queens. So that's my goal in dealing with little Daffy, and she's so far amazing.
Absolutely. And when we look at the game, y'all, you know, King and myself, you know, we're older in the game, you know, or not old, but older. So we've seen the transitions from what it is, of course, with King's extensive journalism background, my just being a lifelong hip-hop nerd. It helps us in terms of a coalescence for making a conversation that we want conscious and relevant. It's artists like yourself, individuals like you both, that really facilitate a growth, a dialogue that is so necessary, because I think a lot of times people don't necessarily, some of these conversations are uncomfortable because it actually means you have to face on what is going on. But while the conversations can be uncomfortable, it doesn't mean it has to be confrontational. And I think that's where we have to divide with some people, because they're ready to just come out with jaws bared and things out about why, the, you know, what's wrong with it, or people defending, well, I have a right to say what I say. And I'm like, there's a lot, you know, and I'm like, we have to find a common denominator. Pretty much, especially being in California on the West Coast, how do you all feel about what's going on right now with the West Coast hip-hop scene?
With the West Coast hip-hop scene?
First.
You want me to go first, or you want to go first?
I'll go first. Well,
okay.
I feel like it's getting worse, because it's not how it is back in the day, because what I've been hearing lately, people just been doing too much killing and all that, game banging, all that, when it's like, like, it's been a couple rappers that, it's like two rappers that died a couple months ago at their own concert, and that's just sad.
That's terrible. It's horrible. It's really scary.
Telling half of my friends, they be trying to think that's cute, trying to be in a gang, and that's not cute. That's not something to be excited about.
No. I saw a meme that was saying it used to be, you know, blue against red, you know, then it was blue against blue, then red against red, now it's just black against black. It was something like that. And, you know, it's unfortunate that sometimes these things have to happen in order for us to wake up. It's getting ridiculously crazy. And I hope it stops. But it's, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just, you would think that with all the talent that's going on out there, that people will come in and understand that the bigger cause is a better cause, and that's unity. With that, we should be unified and, you know, come up with green. Green should be the color overall, because that creates better sound, that creates bigger production value, that creates different avenues and opportunities.
Yes, it does. Absolutely, I agree. Like, even in business, you know, even
exactly.
Both ways.
I was going to get to that for a minute, and about the pros and cons of breaking into this business as a young girl. Like, and did you learn any of that proceeding from, you know, from your uncle about that?
Yeah, he tells me a lot about the stuff. That's why he don't really want me in this music stuff and, like, becoming, like, certain stuff, like, with modeling, because he feel like it's not right, because it's too many crazy people in this world, and they're evil, like he be telling me. Just like my mom told me, she says evil everywhere, not just certain places, evil wherever you go.
I think it's also as well with him coming to the game like he did. He's seen a lot of that stuff, and it was just him being, you know, showing the big heart and looking out for you as well, because it is a very shiesty game.
It is. But, you know, I got her back, and sometimes I'm worried because there's people that hate on you when you start doing radio interviews. And, you know, and I'm concerned because I'm like, you know, I don't want to be the responsibility, you know, responsible for her being hurt. You know, that would be devastated, because that's what's happening even with these West Coast rappers. They're hating on me. You know, an artist will get signed and someone else comes and kills him. You know, I don't think that's going to be the case, but I do feel protected because people are evil. And the whole purpose with spiritual warfare, the power of influence with music, we can change, you know, the dynamics. We can put out a different frequency and put out a different wave and, you know, try to take on that mission and spread a lighter note. And like I was saying, not a religious thing, just a more unifying, positive, like, hello, wake up. What are we doing, you guys? Don't you have daughters? Don't you have sons? Like, what are you doing? We influence people. We've been given a gift. Like, everybody wants to be a star. Why? Because they are influential. You know, now I'm kind of in the, you know, network. We are here to influence, and that's what the gift that we've been given is for, to do good. So I want to try to introduce that and have, you know, Dassie. Oh, yes. Also, Dassie, she's doing a little experiment. There's a girl named Crystal. And on Instagram, it's I_love_angel_wings. I love angel wings. She is an albino African-American, and she does not show her face. She's very ashamed of you know, her position. And I'm trying to help her understand that we don't albino shame. We don't do that anymore. You know, that's something that we embrace. And she was just having such a hard time with it. She was talking to a guy, and he gained her trust. She finally showed him her picture, and he blocked her. And she was devastated. And as a woman, I can't imagine how that must have felt. So I was telling Daffy about it. She's a big fan of BG Knockout. So I was like, hey, Daffy's got an amazing, amazing sense of self-worth in a humble way. And I'm like, hey, I told her about it, and we want to encourage her and try to get her to show her face eventually, bring her to a point where she can show her face and help other women, because God placed her here for a reason. So is there anything you want to say to Crystal, Jassy? She's listening.
Yes. I feel like she should ignore what anybody thinks about her. She should do what she wants to do. Be happy who she is. Self-love is the best. I used to feel like that, but I don't care what nobody thinks. Somebody can call me ugly. I'm going to know I'm beautiful because I have self-love,
yes.
And that's really important. And I have to love myself,
yes.
Before I try to love anybody else. And she should, like, let me see, I want to say this. Feel like, I don't know how I'm trying to say this. Like, maybe she should, like, work on, like, dressing up more, getting herself together, start taking a lot of pictures, and listen to good, calm, positive love songs that probably bring her to get out of that going down. Because, and then she, like, start doing good, like, with life, whatever she's good at. The same person that blocked her is going to be wanting to try to come back around.
Absolutely,
like
I agree.
Like
I agree.
Yes.
Like,
well,
yeah, we were contemplating whether we should put his ass on blast or not, but we don't know yet. We'll wait.
we'll actually wait until she will be on, and she get that Grammy. We'll wait, then we'll really put him on blast.
Man, yes. So I Love Angel Wings. Anyone who's listening, please follow I Love Angel Wings and encourage her and tell her we want to see her face.
There you go, just like that. And now,
yeah, you know,
what about the content of the music? Like, what message do you want your music to bring? On what purpose?
I want it to be, like, something like Nipsey Hussle, like how Nipsey Hussle is with his music. He motivates. He speaks real. He don't do that fake talking like half of these rappers does. Like, just something like Nipsey Hussle and Tupac, how they rap. Like, something good. Like, somebody wants to listen to almost every day and understand. And pushes a person to do something.
What it is, I mean, that's what that the game really needs. It needs that type of balance, because everything, just like we talked about earlier, just chase shit to one part. So that's why you need it, because you know you bring fun energy, you bring youth, and on top of that, the energy is just needed, because it's too far left. Like, you know, you'd be like, damn, the music is so sinister. Like, if you look at a lot of content, going for movies and music and everything is too far sinister. So we need to bring that light back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, one thing about the culture, it's meant to have fun first and foremost, and it's all inclusive, you know, because for the human race, no matter what color you are, as long as you can appreciate hip-hop for what it is, being an outlet from the streets that is a representation of street culture, whether the party vibe or whether the struggle, I think a lot of people have to understand that we, a lot of times where people will try to divide us, we have a lot of the shared struggles that make us a lot more similar in our existence than people would care to realize. And, you know, no matter whether you're black, white, albino, you know, ginger, you know, as long as you can appreciate it, you have a voice, you have a presence. And I think that's important. And I think it's so beautiful for you all to really, you know, really promote and, you know, elevate, you know, especially for some people that may feel ostracized and don't feel like they belong. And you two really show with a welcoming spirit of comforting, you know, graciousness. It really is a place for everybody.
Yes.
How did you both develop such a sense of humanity and compassion? Because your souls are both so sincere and sweet. Please tell us about your personal journeys in life that brought you to this point.
Go ahead, Jassy.
Okay. How I feel about myself, I love myself. I'm always happy. Like, nothing really bothers me. But, like, if I'm, like, in a relationship type. But I feel like for, like, most women, when they feel down or feel like they ugly, it's either because they're going in a situation with a boy. It always happens. But they should know that God put them here for a reason. Everybody's beautiful in his eyes. And nobody's ugly. Everybody's beautiful. Everybody's smart and talented. And that's what I got for him.
I was going to say that, is there anybody, like, in particular that you would like to work with on, as you go on this journey?
Say that a little louder.
Sorry about that. I was saying, is there anybody, like, any artists out there in particular that you want to work with as you go on this musical journey?
Yes. I got a lot. Is it a simple number I got to say?
What's your five?
I got two. Number one is Crazy Bone. Second one is... I say VG Perico.
Yeah, Broadway. Shout out to Broadway. Part of my enthusiasm, I'm a big VG Perico fan. I'm a big fan. All blue.
That's two.
Just need about three.
Three more.
Need about good three more. It could be any of them. It could be anybody.
Yeah.
Is she there? Did we lose her? Are you there, Jassy?
Yeah.
I think we lost. Okay, she is. Okay, cool. All right, so you got Crazy Balls?
Yes.
The BG? Who else?
Yes. You said who else?
Yeah, you have three more left.
It could be anybody.
Let me see.
Locally, famous, it don't matter.
Mulatto. That's a female rapper. Somebody
Big
that's
Lotto,
not
yes.
Too much. I like her. Let me see who else. Cause there's not too many female rappers that. Because these rappers that do too much, they be talking nasty and all that. They be doing too much. But,
yeah.
Let me see.
I bet the last one is going to be the best one.
I'm trying to think. It's a lot. I got a lot.
Or if you can't think of any, that's okay. You got your top, you know. So that's cool. That's cool. Well, you'll probably get to feature with everyone that you want to feature with. Just continue. Keep doing what you're doing. You know? Sky's the limit.
Definitely. Now, one thing we want to ask you, too, in terms of when, for any up-and-coming artists out there, because what does any artist have to understand in terms of what it means to really, because everybody has a very ideal view of celebrity in terms of getting into the music industry. You know, you're going to get on, you're going to get rich. Everybody thinks that success is instantaneous, but in reality, it's a very, very, very arduous, treacherous, and difficult journey. It doesn't always come right away. What advice do you have to artists out there to really understand what this means in terms of really giving it your all and understanding what goes into it?
Well, like with the music, like, don't just be like, my opinion, like, don't just be doing anything like with this music stuff, because that's not what it is. Like, half of these rappers, they don't be rapping like how my generation, I like Nicki Minaj and Tupac. these organizations who talk about killing, nasty stuff, other unnecessary stuff. I feel like with the music, you should just be you and speak the real, not that fake stuff, kind of fake, act like something you're not, and just speak, like, real stuff, like, about your, like, what you really do.
That's good points right there, because that's the beautiful part about today versus yesterday, when you sign it away with a major label, that you don't have to change yourself. When you're independent, you can pretty much, all you got to do is just find your base.
Yeah.
You don't have to sign with a label, and then all of a sudden you got to change who you are. You got to get a nose job. You got to get a BBL and all this weirdo stuff. You know what I mean? You could be you.
Yep. Exactly. The most successful people are successful and unique because they remain themselves.
And it's about being authentic, y'all, because you know, we look on social media, and everybody, you know, to hear everybody on social media who doing it, to see a lot of people, they living their best life, everybody rich, ain't nobody got no struggle, everybody the biggest dope dealer, they the biggest killer,
sure,
you know,
yes.
They the bully in the block. And then reality strikes when we see a lot of that stuff with certain people in terms of the real life being exposed for some. Some just, you know, hide it more than others in terms of what really goes on out there. I think, you know, because we come from a time where everything was a lot more simpler. You know, the magazines were how you got known. There wasn't social media. The videos were how people saw you. You know, and the music, you know, spoke for itself. You know, of course, you know, Dasty, you know, your uncle being BG Knockout. Of course, the classic album that him and Dresta did, Real Brothers, back in the day, that really, really is a staple of West Coast culture for those that really know. And the authenticity that they showed with theirs. How important is it for you to keep that tradition in terms of, you know, just basically carrying on in such a grand and honorable fashion?
Can you break it down a little bit more?
And pretty much, as you've gone on, and in terms of your social media presence, how do you feel about in terms of how you're going to portray yourself out there, in terms of being, you know, up and coming, you know, ready to achieve, and the vibes that you want to put out? Because we see so many on social media that put out the wrong vibes. How important is it for you to put out the right vibes?
Yeah, nowadays people just get famous over nothing. Like, it just be stupid. So I feel like the people that should be getting famous and getting where they at is the people that put a lot of work in and have been doing stuff like for years, not just getting famous like doing stupid stuff like going to stores, knocking stuff over, and people get famous for that. But I feel like, and like the upcoming artists, keep doing what you're doing, keep motivating, keep doing, you're gonna be where you at. And I feel like me becoming an upcoming artist, I love it, but at the same time, it just be weird people in my inbox. And I know that my uncle's a legend, so I'm going to have a lot of cloud chasers. And there's a lot of people that act like they want to be my friend, but at the same time, I'll be like, you're just trying to get close to my uncle. Like, I have a lot of friends that does that, too. Be like, were you with your uncle? Can you FaceTime me? I'll be like, I'll just be saying, okay, just to be nice, but at the same time, I know they're trying to use me for cloud. I don't like cloud chasers.
As none of us,
yeah,
like
they be in your DM just to get a, they be in your DM just to get a feature from them or something.
Yes, I can grab mine.
And you know, I deal with a lot of second generations, like, the second generation, like the sons and nephews of the Bone Thug members, you know, and sometimes it is a lot of pressure because they have to, you know, they have big shoes to fill. or people want to judge them according to their uncles or their, so I understand what you're saying about that. But, you know, I try when I promote her, I try not to say, oh, niece, you know, Beach, because she's who she is. And sure, that's great.
Right.
That comes with the territory. But, you know, them having their own self-identity is really important too, you know. But it's awesome that they're related to legends. That's awesome.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was the angle that we wanted to, that was the angle that we wanted to take, because we didn't want to market it like, oh, we got BG Knockout's niece. And don't even say your name.
Right.
You know, with little stuff like that, that's really, like, disparaging to the artist himself. Cause it's like, man, I'm trying to break out, and, you know, not break out from the shadow, but, you know, have my own identity. And that's,
yeah,
little key things like that that can hurt people.
You know,
but they're
when
all
you
great.
Have
that's
the
cool part.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And one thing about it is that, and I think in life or anything where there is a people, you know, one thing about it is that parents achieve immortality through their offspring because it lives on. And there's going to be a tradition, there's going to be a culture that accompanies with that. I think if there's any lesson to be learned, though, is that, you know, for anyone that has children, it's important to let your children, or just who they may be related to in terms of how they come in. You know, it's important to let them have their own identity, because at the end of the day, anyone has to live their life for themselves. And there is no greater freedom than knowing who you are as an individual to live out loud in a very vivid fashion to have your voice. You know, the tragedy about it is because a lot of times, the public is not always going to be that understanding or even forgiving when there's faltering or even when there's development. And I think that's what we really have to understand, where sometimes for some of these celebrity children or relatives of them, how a lot of times we see situations happen in a tragic fashion. It's not because they're bad people, because it's the pressure that is put upon them carrying on a name. And I'm like, yes, while your name is everything and your reputation is paramount, we're all people first. And we have to understand that there has to be a community of upliftment and learning and, you know, giving an teaching and then giving those an opportunity to learn. Because you can't fault somebody for not knowing if they haven't been properly taught and if they haven't been given those lessons in a compassionate and understanding fashion. You know, life is going to give you the test before you actually get the answer. So that's something to be understood.
So I've learned. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, Go ahead.
I was going to ask you this, Angel. Now, was that one of your biggest challenges when you're introducing a new generation of talent that was offspring of the legends like Bone Thugs and Harmony, like, you know, getting their identities out there?
You know, that's what I was going to add. I was going to say, now, it doesn't hurt to let people know that these are the relatives of, because, no, it was actually kind of easy. I was kind of perplexed as to why these children have not been exposed already. Because it was easy to be like, oh, look, it's Busy Bone's sons and nephews. They rap like people are automatically interested. So it's cool. But I'm learning at some point, no, they just want their own. There kind of has to be a balance. Because you want to use marketing, you know, strategies as well, and that helps. You know, Michael Jackson's son, everyone's going to give him, you know, listen. So it's like use the gifts that we're given. But, no, I wouldn't say that was a challenge. I think what I've noticed what is a challenge is sometimes the children expect more from the uncles and the fathers as far as helping them break in. And it can be frustrating. It can be frustrating for the kids to see their fathers or uncles promoting other artists and not them. That's something, you know, kind of sensitive that I have seen. But the fathers, they're older, they're wiser. Sometimes they do it for a reason. They don't want their kids to have a path. You know, they want them to be strong and they want them to build their. So it's really kind of tricky. But that's the challenge. Those are the challenges I have seen.
And it's a bigger investment when it's your own children because, you know, when you look at all the legends in the game, you know, when you see a lot of the next generation, you know, Big's daughter, I think she, you know, Tiana, I think she's, you know, gotten into the fashion lane now. I think with Chris Jr., I think he's gotten into acting, I believe. You know, anybody can check me in the, on the YouTube if I'm wrong. I mean, Big Pun's son,
right.
You know, he's rhyming now. You know, I think,
right,
you know, of
right,
course,
right.
Old Dirty Bastard, you know, his son, you know, Young Dirty Bastard, he's rapping now. You know, so.
I interviewed him. Yes.
Yeah. You know, so it's beautiful on one hand of it because, you know, we don't, whether artists are alive or gone, we don't want them forgotten. And the legacy is always beautiful to see carried on. And if anything, I think we have to understand, like they say, you know, when we talk about protect such and such at all costs, well, I mean, the children of our icons, we need to protect them too. Because, number one, they are children. And, two, they are the lineage to what made our nostalgia so great and what enriched the culture. So it's important that we maintain, you know, those lines of communication and facilitating, you know, letting them know. And I know it sounds corny, but letting them know how much we care about them and that we see them more. We see them for as being people. We don't look at them as celebrities, but we look at them as individuals that really, really, really just want to succeed and live happy like everybody else.
Truly.
You know?
I feel honored. I feel honored that I've been able to work with like many of them, and they embraced me, and they helped me, too, when I got started, you know. And it's just such an honor. It's like, wow, I've been placed amongst children of legends, and they trust me. They have my back. They look out for me. They are amazing. They follow through with everything. And it's like, how did I get so lucky? You know, so it feels like a big responsibility. It does, you know, and I'm blessed to be around them. They're precious.
And I think that's the most important thing, because it's people like yourself that let everybody know that there is. One thing about in terms of entertainment, no matter whether you're music, whether you're movies, whenever, because when you become a moneymaker, when you become popular, you become a commodity, you become a product that a lot of people feel that can be bought and sold. You know, you just become a stock of which can gain or lose value at any point, depending on what the market dictates, whether artificially or, you know, authentically, you know, whether by your actions or somebody else's influence. So it's always cognizant in terms of branding and having a good team around you. How important is it for anybody to get into the game to have a solid team around them that is looking at them for their benefit of how they can make it as opposed to how they crash and burn? Because there's a lot of yes men that want to latch on, but not a lot of people that are going to pull you aside and say when you may get out of line, because nobody likes risking access, even when the people they're around, you know, may be doing wrong. Please give us your thoughts on that.
Oh man, that's funny. No, you have to have a strong team, and you have to be prepared to face when you've messed up and when you make mistakes in order for it to be successful. And I'm going through that with my team. I have a strong team. We just went through a little something last night. But, you know, we're like, okay, it's all love. We just need to get our emotions together. But that's imperative. Like, it's very important. You need a strong support system to be successful. It's like a war. You cannot fight another army by yourself. You need, you know, your men, your women. And I've been lucky enough to find them after 25 years. So it's important. You've got to have a team. You have to have God. You have to deal with the spirit.
Absolutely.
It's a very, very rough business. It's literally, you're walking through the belly of the beast. So you cannot be successful and safe without walking in the spirit. And you find like-minded spiritual people that love the music, though. They have to love the music and understand the purpose of the music and the mission. And you're good. It's important, very important to have that team.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's always been of the utmost imperative because a lot of times, you know, it's funny because when you're starting on a journey, you know, it's always something that is, you never know, because it's something audacious to dare to dream. It's having the audacity to have action in terms of what your ambitions are. And not everybody is going to understand the vision, because sometimes you're the only one that can see the goal of where you're trying to get to. And not everybody is going to be supportive. But the funny thing about it is, depending how much you really push along the way, the funny thing happens. You find people along the way who really, really, really believe in what you're doing, have a real vested interest, and then they want to be part of it. And they authentically want to help. They're not looking for anything other than, I want to see you win. And those are the rarest people, you know.
And they're
but
the
they
lifesavers
are the most...
usually. Yes. It's true.
You know, and that's important. I think that people have to understand that no matter how big you get, never forget the ones that had your back and who really, really went, you know, who really went all out. One thing, even though he can do some stuff that'll drive you up the wall, I never forgot this jewel Puffy said one time. And Puffy said, always look for the people that are going to go hard for you when you don't ask them to do anything. And those are the people you keep on your team, who are the self-starters. They see something that you may need, and they go get it for you without you having to ask. They just do
exactly. IEBG Bathy, you know, I didn't reach out to her. She reached out to me because she's hungry for it. And I agree. It's just, it has to be something that we all share a vision. It can't be forced, you know, and it works when we all have that drive together. Unstoppable. There's going to be challenges. Those are just tests, you know, because you have to be strong in this game, especially as a woman, you know.
Yeah. So how's it been for y'all in terms of, like, you know, has it been a thing of, like, doing shows yet, or are we at a place where she's actually performing, or is it right now, you know, it's just the early stages of getting her polished and then really ready to go in terms of the right presentation?
She's getting polished, and our contract is really cool. Basically, I'm, you know, just showing her what it's like, teaching her some things, getting polished. She's free to go out if there's something more beneficial to her. You know, that's all I want. I just want her to be safe and you know, do thrive. So we have a venue that my dad actually bought with his partner in Florida. It is a beautiful place. We're going to have a show. We're looking at April with Shaheen and Bloodline Harmony, maybe a couple others. So she'll be opening for them. We'll start to get her performing, hopefully, April. That's what we're looking at. And we'll be sure to keep you guys posted.
That's dope.
That's what it is. That's what it is. It's going back to getting out there and, you know, mingling with the people. And ain't nothing like doing nothing like doing live shows, because you get to mingle with the crowd and you get to see how the crowd really rock with your music.
It's the best. Yes. So there are lots of, I mean, there's so much happening. My head is spinning. It's like so many years of hard work just finally kicked in, you know. Even dealing with you guys, I'm super honored to be on the show with Daffy. And thank you guys for supporting her and just having her here.
Always.
Being off, being amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and look, we got to shout out Derek CPT, you know, and of course, day one, you know, shout out Derek especially, because he's the one, we couldn't end this hour without giving our homie some love, man, because he's the one that facilitated in terms of making the connection we had with y'all. So, I mean, this is how this works in terms of, you know, hands reaching out to help each other. We're behind y'all 1,000%. You know.
Thank you. Derek's been nothing but an angel. You know, he's just one of those people that you can't believe exist. You know, he saw everything I was doing, never told me. He thought it was complete, and he let me know, and he's just been a man of his word. Day one is an amazing. Wow.
Absolutely.
Like, really? You know, like, really? Is this real? You know, it's incredible. It's all incredible.
Absolutely. You know, we're here.
Whatever you guys have new music to promote, just send it to us. We're going to push that line.
Yes,
and whatever you need me to promote, I got you.
Well, that flyer you did for us, we was like, oh, snap. We're like, okay.
That was a great look for us.
We got new artists on set with this.
Oh, you mean the video?
Well, yeah,
no,
the flyer you did promoting for the show. Yeah.
Oh, the flyers. Yes. Whatever you guys need, just let me know, please. I appreciate you guys very much.
Absolutely, and we're honored to be the first ones to interview, you know, her. So it's like, you know, we set a precedent here, like, you know, okay, like we're really, you know, the one thing about it is for us to be entrusted, you know, this is big for King and myself because we pride ourselves on being respectful, professional, courteous, and compassionate, you know. We really want to facilitate something that is going to make for our guests feeling comfortable. That's what we're about, you know.
Yes,
so that's how we want to do it.
Yes, and you guys have. Daffy, is there anyone that you want to shout out or anything you want to say?
Not at this moment I can think of.
You're like, no. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that you did a great job. You did your first interview. I'm so proud of you. The first time I interviewed, I was so nervous. And it's just going to get easier. It's going to get funner. And I'm super proud of you. And thank you for everything. Little sister. Little wise young sister. She lifts my spirit.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We had to close up this first hour right here. You guys are definitely welcome to come back whenever you got projects to promote.
Okay.
If you have artists you want to bring on here, we're going to keep that thing flowing for y'all.
Yes, we have a few.
Absolutely.
I'll be in touch. And thank you guys again. I want to shout out Off the Cuff Radio, One Love, BG Daffy, Angel Lion Entertainment in the building.
Already. Y'all have a blessed night.
Be blessed. Stay safe. God bless. Yes, thank you. Thank you both. Good night.
Yes, thank you. Good night.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we about to move on to hour number two. We about to take a little brief commercial break. I'm about to play this joint that was sent to me from Soldier Columinati, this joint called Bloodline, and hopefully we'll have him back online for the second hour. So, call number 516-531-9596. Let's go.
Oh, no. Y'all done fucked up now.
Tell the Bloodline stand up.
I got my fucking cousin with me.
Huh?
Let's go. Let's go. I'm in fashion that jewelry around my gorilla tank to see they hungry. All I gotta do is snap a finger and point at you, they young.
Let's go.
Taking all your money, sticking you up for everything you own. Better hope you don't be smoking the process, cause me and my cat
go with the move, go with the move. Kind of a nigga, but we be coming from his tongue. In my hood, he tryna run it with a pump, but that ain't good, I got a 100 with a drum. The educated, drinking my fun of the sun, breaking the moon out, making us move out. I got them niggas in the middle of my hand, wanna fit it with a can, and making them all lose out. What you smoking on? Hell of a kush, running my neck in the hood, making a sale. That's all the niggas seem to be doing. I be chilling around, I'm building with killing, never know, running over the car, about to get on myself. And I ain't running, I'm gonna know anything. I ain't going back to the bang, you can take it to the bang, I'ma bang it out. When anybody come around here, looking like I got a badge hanging off of room. Dig in my pocket, put a couple of hundreds out. Yeah, they give me some of the thunder bars. They can catch the adrenaline rush when I'm putting my money out. And if the money mine, throwing 100 miles in the bed, then niggas, you can bet the hundreds out from the south. A nigga, my worth 100,000. New fuck, these kids, what I love them. I'm in fashion, that jewelry around my gorilla tank to see they hungry. All I gotta do is snap a finger and point at you, they young. Taking all your money, sticking you up for everything you own. Better hope you don't be smoking the process, cause me and my cat.
Go with the move.
promise it. Every day I get my heartbeat, but last night I finally heard my heart cry. Someone that ever suffered never to the cross and home. Now I'm resurrected on the dark side. Someone that took the fucker back when I need to the most. Life fall, but it's easy to go. Lord, take my flesh, I leave as a ghost. Blowing the horn of a ghost. Let's go.
On my flesh and the jewelry around my gorilla tank to see they hungry. All I gotta do is snap my fingers and point that to their young. Taking all your money, sticking you up for everything you own. Better hope you don't be smoking the process, cause me and my cousin.
I'm on the biggest fucking mission never had. I can't be stopped, nigga, throw it in the bag. You just sitting there, sides on the flat. If you're thinking I'm talking about you, they clap back. These boys ain't nothing but clowns. I fuck around and put their face in the ground. Y'all waste the time, nigga, y'all waste the break. A young soldier, why you do it like that? Nigga, why we run this shit, huh? Nigga, why we run this shit, huh? Nigga, why we run this shit? Pass me the mic and I'm a burn head bitch, huh? Nigga, why we run this shit, huh? Nigga, why we run this shit, huh? Nigga, why we run this shit? Pass me the mic and I'm a burn head bitch. Nigga, why we run this shit, huh? Nigga, why we run this shit, huh? Nigga, why we run this shit? Pass me the mic and I'm a burn head bitch, huh? Nigga, why we run this shit, huh? Nigga, why we run this shit, huh? Nigga, why we run this shit? Pass me the mic and I'ma burn that bitch. Why we run this shit, nigga? Why we run this shit? Why we run this shit, nigga? Why we run this shit?
Yeah, we back at Off the Cuff Radio for hour number two. Those two joints we played were Bloodline and Who Run This for my second hour guest. And we also have Pittsburgh Pat back on the line alongside T-Max. Welcome on board, brother.
Jip, what up, Pat?
What's up? What's happening?
What's going on?
Man, just chilling, bro, just chilling.
Great to have you with us as always.
Who'd y'all have on the first hour? Who was on the first hour?
We had BG Dassey. She was BG Knockout's niece and up-and-coming artist.
And Angel Lion, her manager.
And you know what's crazy? Exactly, the peers of the legends. That's what I was about to bring up. And Pat, I'm gonna let you do the honors of bringing our guests on. Tell us about the, give us an intro about who we have on the line right now.
Man, it's a dude. Back when I first started doing my interviews a few years ago, man, he was probably like one of the first, I say like 15, 20 people I interviewed. So I was new. So, you know, I'm doing some learning tonight as well, too, catching up with you. But, look, man, dude is a hell of an artist, man. Like, ever since I heard him, I couldn't stop fucking with him. And when I came back, I knew I had to get him on the show. And he's a cousin of the man himself, the king, man, Soulja Slim. So he's a cousin of the late, great Soulja Slim. Let's welcome on Soulja Kaluminati. What's up, man?
Yeah. What's good, man?
I'm cool and I'm cool.
Come on.
Magnolia, come
on, you heard me?
Hey, man, it's good to be on this radio show. You heard me? I've been on the show in a minute, man. I'll be doing so much, you heard me?
Yeah, no,
man,
we used to catch up with you, you heard me? Cause every time I see you online, man, you rapping your ass off, man. And to me, out of everybody, like you, I hear Slim and you the most. That's my opinion.
Yes,
your
indeed.
Style, your cadence, like even your voice for real. Like, remember that a couple of days ago, I saw somebody saying that you wasn't really related to Slim. I said, man, if he ain't motherfucker, then he don't rap like him. He look like him. He sound like him. This motherfucker's a wizard or some shit. Motherfucker's like him. You know what I'm saying? You look like him.
Yeah,
everything. Your name's the same. All that. But what's going on though, man? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing good, man. You know what I mean? Man, look, I get messages like that. Like, who created that messages like that all the time? You know what I mean? I don't be tripping, you know what I'm saying? It's like a curse. It's like a curse, you know what I'm saying? And it's like a blessing at the same time, you hear me? Even a little time, you know, to even be family. It's the blessing to be family, but it's a curse, you know, coming, being a rapper. Like, it's a blessing, but it's like a curse. Being a rapper coming behind a film like that, you feel what I'm saying? Like, and you're going to have your hatred and shit like that. But I can tell you one thing, when I go to New Orleans, it's all love, you heard me? I could be at a gas station, I could be anywhere, you know, and it's like the city. I ain't going to even just say the city, I ain't going to even say New Orleans. It's just like down south. It's like they hurt more, like the family, we hurt, you know what I'm saying? And you know, but how our family live and shit like that, it's like fucking, you know, you gonna cry, you gonna go boom, you gonna get over it. But New Orleans or down south, man, they still hurt over that shit. Like, I be trying to run for them to be like, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't, it'd be a lot of, man, it's a lot of fucking, you're critics, man. I would say that's a lot of fucking critics. You heard me? That should be a lot of pressure, but, you know, I try to, you know, separate myself from, but I can't run from that shit, man. Like, when I go through all the niggas be like, damn, I feel like I'm standing in front of him. I feel like I'm standing in front of him. You hear me? I'm me, but fuck, if it's making you feel, I know I'm me. You hear me? We damn near proud of the same person. Even my cousin Hound be saying that shit. But if you feeling happy, if you getting a positive energy, feeling like that, you heard me? I'm close to Slim, or you feeling like I'm Slim. If you just getting happy about, man, shit, does it feel like that, cuz? You hear me? Go ahead. I ain't going to tell you from
first.
Well,
the way I see it is, like, Soulja Slim was the most New Orleans dude ever. So, like, there's a million people in New Orleans that, like, they sound like Slim. But that's just because he's New Orleans as hell. So, like, a lot of shit will sound like him. So, like, there's his relative.
Yeah,
of course you're going to sound like him. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
you're going to.
Thursday, like, the real shit. Yeah, I heard Hot Boy Turk say, like, he was like, man, Slim is culture in New Orleans. But Slim, it ain't just New Orleans, though. It ain't just New Orleans, man. It be places that you be like, goddamn, you know Slim. Like, you be like, they be like, yeah, man, boom,
yo,
boom, you know.
Time out,
he was
culture
test, like, everybody. You feel what I'm saying? So, yeah, nigga dress like him, nigga talk like him. When you go to New Orleans, the slang come from Slim. It did, you heard me? So You got a lot of I might be cousin like blood kin to Slim. But man, Slim family is New Orleans. Everybody was brother cousin to Slim, man. As you can know, yeah. Man. That we all his family, man. We all little brother, well, look, little cousin, man. Or whatever to Slim, man. You heard me? Everybody heard him when this motherfucker came back.
I had just interviewed Magnolia Levy a couple weeks ago. One of the questions I asked him was, like, yo, like, were you guys all aware of the impact Slim and just New Orleans as a whole had on other areas? Like, I'm from Pittsburgh, and if you closed your eyes and listened to how people talk, you would think you were in New Orleans. Because that's how, like, listening to Soulja Slim is like a lifestyle. Like, it's not, you're not listening to a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like, riding around bumping Slim, like, you understand what somebody means when they say that. They mean, like, they're in their zone, like, you know? And, like, I mean, people all the time from Jacksonville, Savannah, Georgia, you know, Flint, Michigan, Ohio, like, Columbus, Pittsburgh. Like, there's pockets all over the country where Slim and New Orleans in general, the Hot Boys and Cutthroat Committee, that had that impact of where, like, they lived that soldier shit for real. You hear it.
Real,
you know, Chicago, you hear it. So, Edward, that was one of the questions I asked them. So, like, it's not just New Orleans. It's, you know, Slim spoke to, like, you know, there was something he spoke to people. Like, there was a certain type of person that, like, just, you know, you can't just play a Soulja Slim joint and have everybody like it. You, like, you have to be a certain type of, you got to know what you're listening to. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you got to been around that shit. You heard me? Like, you know, you really got to be from the hood. You feel what I'm saying? Or even though you're not from the hood, you going to love it regardless of the fact. If you hate that motherfucker, it's just because you love it so much. You know what I'm saying? You hate that you love that bitch so much. You heard me?
There's times when I'm listening to music, like, I don't even like to throw Slim on a playlist because once I hear one joint, then I know I'm stuck the rest of the day. You know what I mean? Because it throws you in that, like, zone, like, just because there's a certain, you know, he just speaks to you in a certain way that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just, you know, like, they call
you
him
got a song for everything. Cuz got a song for everything. You heard me? You be in that mood where fuck this bitch. Cuz got a song for, like, fuck that bitch. You heard me? You be in the mood.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? You be in the mood like I'm going to smoke. You remember? You going to smoke. If you be in that mood to where, look, man, I might buy this car and I'm going to drive that shit. Cuz got a song to tell you to whip your shit. Cuz it don't matter what you whipping in, whip that shit. You heard me? Cuz you on that highway doing what you do. Cuz got a song for that bitch. You heard me?
Yeah. Like,
saying,
when you sitting there, when you sitting,
it's a lifestyle. You hear me? It's a lifestyle.
Yeah,
it ain't nothing. Motherfuckers were looking at it like that. Like, said, kind of like, man, he was this. He was living life and all that, man.
Yeah, like I got Slim joints for jail. I got Slim joints for when I'm, like, living good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything.
There's a move,
bro,
to Slim,
like,
every day.
Oh,
he got a little bit for everybody.
Like, I'm glad that we still got pieces of Slim everywhere throughout music. You know what I mean? Like, he affected so many people that we still got pieces of him everywhere. Like, I still hear music today, and I hear a shout out to Slim or something. Like, there's pieces, there's references to him. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, I'm sure people ask me this all the time, like, you get compared to his son and, like, the people, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the people, like, compare you two to see who sounds more like Slim and all that.
Yeah. You see everybody Slim raised, man. You heard me?
Yeah.
That's all you see. Slim raised a lot of motherfuckers, you feel what I'm saying? But all he did was taught y'all to be real, you heard me? That's a good man. Keep a man shit. Be real no matter what, you heard me?
You know what? I've always said this about Slim is that he's one of those guys that when you heard his music, you believed everything he was saying. I got that feeling when you listen to guys like him and Trey D, and, you know guys that, you know, really was out there in that jungle.
Yeah. I mean, he had beef with how many people? You never once heard anybody that dissed him. You never heard anybody saying he was fake. He wasn't living what he was saying. Like, that wasn't calling him the realest in the game wasn't an opinion you had. Like, it was just true. Like, what he rapped about, like, there's never been anything to contradict it. Like,
I got stories, man. Most of these niggas, y'all think really that game, you heard, man. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to dealing with that, niggas ain't loaded like this. Niggas be screaming like they be kids or something, like for real. Boy, y'all niggas ain't kids or something, man. I don't be doing all that. You feel what I'm saying? Or like you know, rocking or something like that, man. I'm be doing all that. You hear me? But for real, though, my nigga used to cut my hair. You hear me? My nigga used to babysit us, you know what I'm saying? When mom and dad go do something, he used to babysit us. I was like little son of brother, like that's who I was looking up to. I looked up to him the whole time. We stayed next door. My mom and his sisters, we stayed right next door to each other, you heard me? You feel what I'm saying? Yeah, man. Fucking right. That was my nigga, man. That's what nigga I looked up to, man. So you know when they took shit like that from the family. You heard me? But I got another cousin full blooded. He was solid with me too. Him and Slim did their own. Me and my cousin, we stay busting heads.
Full blooded.
So I be in Greentown fucking with full blooded too sometimes. He older than Slim, you heard me? He started that shit too. He cut Slim come up out of that nigga too, you feel what I'm saying? So there's a lot of motherfucking talent in the family too, though. But man, Slim was that nigga, man. Slim was everybody's family in New Orleans, not just us, man. Everybody's fine, man. Even in fucking Florida, you know they be rapping, so they put everything on tap, man. Put that shit on tap. So it's right. It's only right that I gotta come behind, you know. And I've been waking myself up too late. You feel what I'm saying? Like, nigga, don't give up on this shit. You know, you started doing this for cousin. You hear me? You know what I'm saying? You keep pushing.
Hey, bro, look, man, I'm a diehard Soulja Slim fan, man, and like. I'm glad you're out there, bro. Like, I'm glad you take that upon yourself to rep your cousin and shit. Like I said, let's face it, man. Like, Little Real One got life. Double Cross is gone. 12's gone. Trey Nitty's gone. BG's locked up. Little Derek's gone. Stone's gone. Like, Log of Black's
Yellow
gone.
Stupid's
gone.
No, Yellow Boy,
like,
yeah.
Yellow Boy's been gone. Like, you know. There's not too many people in Slim directly that we got left. Like, Menace don't even rap no more. Menace does the top shelf entertainment. He, like, books concerts and shit. So we got Little Soulja and we got you. Like, and you, your style, I think, is more like Slim's. So, like, I like hearing that shit, bro. Like, for real, I like hearing that shit. Like, you're the next generation of the Soulja. I got to put this shit out,
but I listen, and motherfucker won't believe me. I'm 32 right now. You remember me? 33. On the 3rd of September. They still be checking my ID in the home school and shit. You know what I'm saying? But if you read the Bible, you heard me? Jesus went to fucking Egypt at 33 years old, and he came back to
Egypt.
You heard me? He was still young. You feel what I'm saying? So this here, when Nipsey told you on the interview, when Nipsey said on the interview that this music shit is spiritual. This ratchet spiritual, bro. So it ain't gonna happen as a nigga thing is gonna happen. But when it happens, that bitch gonna be explode. I had to live and I had to learn some shit. You heard me? That's all the nigga had to do was live and learn some shit because it's just not music. It's just not rap. When I'm living is spiritual. So this bitch gotta. So I'm telling you, whatever Slim got hold, whatever Slim got planned, that shit, this shit about to spaz from this fucking radio talk right here we doing right now. From this shit here, the cousin about to spaz for cuz. You hear me? I swear to God, I'm about to do it for cuz. When I say it's all right, because when you go back in the days to the nights and the emperors and shit, when the king died,
yeah.
If he ain't had no son, it was up to the family and the bloodline to come take him. It was somebody in the bloodline that had to come take the crown, that bloodline, to run that empire again. Nigga, that's how the fuck it goes. It's like, to anybody that's hating, it's like, oh, he trying to know, nigga, that's how the fuck it goes. Nigga, I'm supposed to take the crown, nigga. What the fuck? It ain't, oh, no, he said, I'm supposed to come up, I'm supposed to take the crown. And ain't nobody else on that. Yeah, man. And that's what the fuck I had to realize. I had to read. I had to go through some shit, you heard me? Like, I had to, yeah. So, now I'm falling, man. 33, man. That's my number, 333, nigga. That's my number right there, you heard me? Hey, look, they might say, like, I'm going to tell you this spiritual shit right here. My number is 3. We both from the 3. Our birthday in September. You feel what I'm saying? I swear to God. Oh, the numbers I've been seeing is 333. If you watch videos of Slim, he going to keep mentioning 3. 3 is when I tell you this shit spiritual. The number I see all the time is 333. Anytime I wake up, I wake up
3 times for the third.
I could wake up 3 times. I could wake up at 333, right? You feel what I'm saying? When I make 33, my birthday is September 3rd. That's when all 3 connect. You hear me? Mitchell told you this is spiritual.
You go. That's soldier mathematics, man.
Soldier mathematics. Tell a man to the motherfucker. My motherfucker knows. That's why it ain't no nigga trying to lay hands out. That's when I say niggas be on some sucking shit. Ain't nobody trying. I don't want to take a hand anyway. Ain't nobody trying to really like, yeah, man, look, let me put you on some shit. On you bloodline and shit like that or whatever. Let's do this for Slim. Let's look over the fact that I think that you trying to be like Slim when I know that you ain't, that you the blood. You really the blood. Let's look over the fact that let's do this for Slim on some larger shit. On all the shit that Slim then put down in the water. All the shit, all the shit that this nigga Slim did for niggas. Let's fucking do it for Slim. Look over the other bullshit. Let's do this for something. No, this was his dream. This was his man. See, I'm a real nigga. I'm a lawyer nigga, man. You feel what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck. I don't change. I could have been 13 at the time when my cousin was going through that shit, nigga. Realize when I grow up, I'm still gonna be behind him, no matter wrong or right, nigga. I ain't switching sides. I ain't making no deal with no fucking body that my cousin has beef with. Real shit, I don't even get in the phone with him. Don't talk to me. For real.
I tell you, man. I respect the hell out of you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I can respect that principle.
For like,
yeah,
5 years,
yeah, you gotta
years,
respect
man.
That,
like,
man, because a lot of these dudes,
I think,
yeah, y'all gotta respect that.
You
bro,
hold your cousin
a lot
down
of these dudes
great.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, other people see it too, man. Like, I'm in a lot of like soldier themed groups and shit, and I'm on social media and shit, and I see people shout you out all the time, bro. Like, they love hearing you rap and shit because it brings that back. Like, we see Slim in you so much, and like, it's just cool that we got like real soldier shit still coming right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like,
yeah.
Losing Slim was the hardest thing in the world, man. So to see somebody in your family younger than him come up and hold down what he was doing, man, like, I love seeing that shit, bro. I would never put you down for that. If you was out here rapping and not holding down, I'd be like, what the fuck is that? Like, you know what I'm saying? We'd be disappointed as hell in you. You know what I mean? So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's spiritual, right? You see how you feeling? And you see how you got in contact with me, like, get on this radio show. You feel what I'm saying? You see how you feeling? That's that spirit Slim had. You hear me? Because even when he died, even after death, he putting this shit together. That's how you feel. You like, man, you the closest thing that we got to Slim, man. We should be putting you. We should be like, man, that's how much I love Slim. You know what I'm saying? Because I got respect for what the fuck you doing. That spirit, man. Music spiritual, man. We got on this motherfucking radio talk on this spiritual shit, man. So put that shit together, man. Tell them niggas, hey, this ain't revenge, but we said, my cousin gonna rest. When they say a person supposed to rest in peace, if you got I'm going to put it to this. If you got killed knowing what you supposed to do, knowing that you was what the fuck you was doing, was about to fucking lead your family and shit like that. If you got killed knowing that, how the fuck you gonna ever rest in peace? You know what I'm saying? You know where I'm going? How the fuck you gonna ever rest in peace when you died in the middle of trying to succeed? You're never gonna rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? You know what the saddest thing in the graveyard when somebody told me? You know what the saddest thing in the graveyard when somebody told me? It's not going in the graveyard seeing a body. The saddest thing in the graveyard is people that died. Not. You know where I'm going. People that died knowing they ain't succeeded. That's the saddest thing in the graveyard. People that died knowing they ain't gold. You feel what I'm saying? So how can you ever rest in peace knowing you ain't fulfilled your fucking purpose? And the only motherfucker that you probably got, you heard me, spiritually, to fulfill your purpose, to make your family straight and such and such, is your son, your sister, and your fucking cousin. You feel what I'm saying? They got to get their fucking head in the game. You feel what I'm saying? Do what the fuck they don't. and succeed so I can rest in peace. You see what I'm saying? You rest in peace,
that's
man.
Some real shit.
What, man, what? Man, I feel 100 bucks, man, something. When I fast, I'm going to fast for cousin, man. You hear me? I'm going to make sure cousin rest in peace.
That's some real shit, man. That's some real shit. When I get asked a lot is, what's up with the Cutthroat Committee name? Who, like, are you under that, or is that just little circle?
You're man, under it's some shit. You know what I'm saying? Cut. You know, the cut did, you know, he did something to us. But like I said, I'm you know, I started this shit because it's like, I started rapping after women for cuz, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, man, I could start my own thing too, you feel what I'm saying? But then I'm like, nah, you feel what I'm saying? I'm going to pick up the empire. You heard me? Like, for real. You laid it down. Why should I start something that you laid already? You feel what I'm saying? That's like, you know what I'm saying? Nah, whatever you laid, you left here, label, whatever, I'm going to pick up on it. You feel what I'm saying? But I got to be ready for that. You got to have a business knowledge. You feel what I'm saying? Because it's different from rapping and rap business. It's a way different from rapping and rap fucking business. So, you got to be on your rap business shit. You feel what I'm saying? Like Aunt T. Ben told me, man, rap that shit. She said, you don't got to ask me. You know what it is. Cutthroat Committee, you know, rap that shit. She been told me to do that shit. But, you know, like I said, I've been walking away from it. But nigga had to grow up sometimes, you know. You feel what I'm saying? You got to. Let me say this to all motherfuckers that are listening. This real shit. Don't ever get trapped in this fucking world. If your dream, when I say your dream is your reality, your dream is the way about this motherfucking hole. You feel what I'm saying? Do not lose sight of your motherfucking goal. You feel what I'm saying? You will be trapped doing 9 to 5. Stopping. 9 to 5. 9 to 5. You're going to be fucking trapped. Live your fucking life. Even in the relationship. Even in the relationship. Do something exciting. Sex is not always exciting. Do something exciting, motherfucker. Go scuba diving. Go fly off a motherfucking plane or something. Do something exciting. Stop doing the same thing every fucking day because you're going to get trapped. You're going to lose sight of your motherfucking dream. That's why the only time you have peace is when you sleep. Your dream is your reality. Chase that shit. You hear me? Shit. On the other hand, Cutthroat Committee, be picking that shit back up. Fuck off, because every motherfucking body else in jail or whatever. But me, the way my mind set up now, I can take this shit and run it the way Cuz wants it to be ran. You feel what I'm saying? Like, and I ain't talking about like doing wild shit. You heard me? We gonna really run that shit like a business. I came on Cutthroat TV. You heard me? I did that shit. I was, you know. Man, it's kind of hard doing it by yourself, but you know, when you get the lawyer people around you, shit makes sense. But Cutthroat ain't dying, man. Yeah. Cutthroat committed life to me, man. Yeah. I'm going to get that shit tatted on my chest.
You Cutthroat to the bone, man.
Yeah, Cutthroat to the bone, man.
You know what I'm saying?
A lot of those guys, man, you passing dudes for that, man. You really are. Now, where can we hear your music at, man? Tell us about where your music's at.
I'm a ghost, bro. I'm a ghost. I'm a fucking ghost, you hear me? I had music out. Like that song that you played, Running, that was some years back. But like I said, the nigga I am now, I'm about to push Buku shit out. I'm about to push like Buku shit out. Like I got the album called, not the album, but the mixtape called The Last One Up. You feel what I'm saying? And I got another mixtape called Ghost that I'm working on. Now I'm going to try to push some bitches out. I like, yeah, like I said, my favorite number 3. I might come with, then I got another one, Mission Impossible. So I could push all 3 of them out. You feel what I'm saying? Because I do got enough songs that's laid back that ain't nobody here yet that, you know, I could put on. You know what I'm saying? I got like a lot of fucking songs, bro, that I could play, put on. But like I said, it's different between rap and rap business. You feel what I'm saying? So,
okay.
I mean, I'll make sure I handle it right. Nigga could have been rapping with somebody and be like, okay, man, look, sign me. Sign me, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I'm saying? I ain't signing. I could sign an album with you and shit like that, but I ain't signing. But I could have easily be like, man, yeah, do it now. Fuck all that. I'm signed with Cousin, man. That shit in blood. I can't go sign with nobody else, cuz. That's in my blood. You remember that's what the contract already signed in blood, man. I can't write that shit on paper, man. Fuck no, it's cutting them to the bone. I'm signing Linda and Slim. That's how it is, you
That's what's up.
But I got
you coming out
working on.
Yeah, you gotta push some stuff out, man, because man, you go
man,
live,
yeah.
Man.
I could, man, these video niggas talking like yeah, you heard me, but man, money ain't a problem, but fuck the video that I will put out,
when you go live and you put them little videos out on Facebook and shit, bro, you go in, man. Like, that shit is hard. I mean, look, man, you got an interview just from doing that shit, bro. imagine if you could do with some, like, music and actually sitting down and, like, trying to make the dopest project you can. Like, a lot of those joints is just you just rapping. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not really,
you're just showing
how good you can rap, bro. Like, bro, your potential is crazy, for real. Like, If you sat down and you're like, man, I'm going to make the best music I can make, like, man, I'm telling you, man, that shit will be something special, for real. You got to push in,
that, man.
Like, you got to put that shit in.
That's what I write. When I write, I sit in front of Slim, man. That's how I vision myself. When I write, I sit in the table and I got to write. I got to write against this nigga. You heard me? Like, that's how I write. Like, bitch, we in competition right now. I'm sitting in my vision. I'm like, bitch, I gotta make you proud. Like, so when I write, I gotta say, cuz, man, cuz, I gotta be proud, man. Cuz, I gotta be proud. Bitch, I'm about to make you smile at the table right now, spiritually. You hear me, too? That's how my world be. It's like I'm competing with these niggas. I gotta be better than you. You hear me? Because I know that's what you want.
Yeah, what's going on, Kalumni? This is T-Max and VA, man. Look, one thing about it, I've respected y'all so much in New Orleans, you know. Shout out to Desire, Florida, you know. Third Ward. I mean, it's you all just have an unparalleled sense of savvy and savage and scholarly, all mixed together in your rhymes. You know, there's just something about New Orleans that just resonates in terms of, like, real nigga shit out there. the pedigree, I mean, shout out to Calio, I mean, shout out to Holly Grove, I mean, of course, Mr. Magic, rest in peace, Lil Wayne, Currency, Mr. Marcello, J Electronica, uptown, downtown.
You gotta see with all the rappers I deal, man, I've interviewed so many people, but look, every time I link up with a New Orleans dude, bro, they call on time, they give us good interviews, they're always a man of the word.
It's always
like, there's some
always
they're gangsters.
Right.
Yeah, they're gangsters, you know what I mean? But they're stand up men too. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hey, you know where we get that from? Mama. You heard her? Let me tell you how the females is in the world. Let me tell you how they raise it. Look, bitch, you gonna respect, you gonna act like you got manners when you go to these people's house. Don't ask for no motherfucking food, because I'm gonna feed you before we get to that motherfucker. You better act like you ain't motherfucking hungry. You better say hi. If they do you something, you take it, you just say thank you. See, mama put that shit on, she make you have manners. But then when it's time to fight a nigga, you better go whoop his ass. The fucking, if he bigger than you, look, mom be like, if he bigger than you, you better pick something up and fuck him up. You heard me? That's how she be cool. Mama really raised you with manners, and she raised you like, don't be no scary because you ain't no pussy-ass nigga. That's how mama is. It's all mama. Mama do that. Mama, I'm telling you, man. Well, I don't put this go right now. If you don't fight him right now, she home.
I dare a motherfucker to tell me that this ain't Soulja Slim's cousin.
I'm telling you, you be by the time you go to school, Yeah, you ain't scared of no ass whooping because you done got about 12 ass whoopings before you came to school, so you know what ass whooping feels like. You heard me? So you're not scared of no ass whooping, boy. You about to fight because if you don't, you got to take that ass whooping when you get home. Fuck all that. I'd rather beat this nigga ass and take my mama ass whooping. Fuck that, you heard me? So mama, so, but that's not, y'all not the only people that say that because when I come out here, I swear to God, I guess it's something about New Orleans. But mine, let me tell the ladies, mama raised her like that. So when I come out like the out of town places, a female think I'm too good to be true because I have manners, but then I'll be gangster. Yeah. So she'll be like, man, nigga, you run the game. Nah, I'm not running the game. I'm really coming from the heart. Bitch, you're beautiful. You heard me? I marry your ass. Now, I just fell in love with your motherfucking ass. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. You heard me? So they'll be like, bitch, I love you right now. Bitch, I really do. Like, you beautiful. Like, I'm falling in love with you. They'll be like, what? Man, look, I'm not lying. Like, I got manners. I'm going to open the door for you. I'm going to take you out to eat. I'm going to do you all day. You heard me? Never nigga play with you. I'm coming behind you. You heard me? They like that. But that, even not just with the female, dog. Even when it come down to own, when you come down and you run into some dudes and you know it ain't, they be like, damn, y'all niggas loyal. Y'all crazy, but y'all loyal. Because even if we get into some shit, you know what I'm saying? Y'all come behind us in a different way. Like, we might want to fight. Y'all come behind us like, bitch, you play with my nigga, I'm going to smoke you. You heard me? Like, y'all a different type of loyalty. You heard me? Y'all be ready to play.
Everybody I ever met from New Orleans, man, they the most dangerous motherfuckers, but the coldest motherfuckers to be around. Like, and they're loyal as hell. Like, if you rock with a New Orleans dude, man, like, you never got to worry about anything. Like, they got your back to the fullest, man. Like,
Look, King and myself, we always have a running joke on the show, but we're serious because we mean it all in respect. Southern niggas be different, especially in New Orleans. We always say there are two places we tell niggas you do not want problems. One is the Bay Area and all of it. That's Richmond, Oakland, Vallejo, and then anywhere in New Orleans. Those are two places you do not want problems with, especially New Orleans. You all that water y'all got out there, that Gulf Coast, man, I'm like, them niggas drop y'all in the damn bayou. No, won't nobody ever.
They don't call it the Wild Magnolia for nothing. You know what I'm saying?
It gets down, man. Like nowadays when you go on the east, like east, they be like, why the east so bad? I'm going to tell you why the east bad, because the white folks that tore down a project and then move the motherfucking project to the neighborhood. You feel what I'm saying? And they go to where the cheapest place is at, which is the East. And the East became bad now, because now you got different motherfuckers back there living, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, y'all done created this, man. They created this, man. But it's so much poverty. But when we go out of town, I'm not lying, when we go out of town, it's just so much noise in New Orleans, bro. So much noise, so much shit. You got to do so much, like, watch your back. It's hard to really live. So, but when you go out of town, you take a New Orleans motherfucker out of town, they become the smartest nigga you know. You feel what I'm saying? Real shit.
People from those other cities, you see them hating. You know what I'm saying? Like, hate on the New Orleans dudes. Because you can't.
I ran to that
New Orleans dudes are special, man. Like, they ain't just going to move in and just blend in. Like, you're gonna know New Orleans is there, you know what I'm saying? So I mean, like, I don't know if you guys remember what, like, Slim Thug said a while back, like, when that hurricane hit, he caught some shit because he, like, a lot of New Orleans people was going to Texas, and he was like, man, y'all some refugees and shit, we don't want you to stay over there and shit. Like, he caught some shit, like, y'all, you know, like, how you gonna call people refugees, man? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's a fucked up thing to say. A couple people prepped them, like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't be saying some shit like that. Like, OG Murder checked them from Round. He checked them and shit. It was like, how you gonna call black people refugees, man? Like, fuck out of here. Like, you don't want that. Like, you don't want to say that about New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? And he's right.
You really don't.
You know.
Yeah. I don't blame my city for it. I know there's a lot of murder. It's like, you could be like, okay, stop the violence, Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That should have never really stopped. Like, it won't unless we stop it. Unless niggas from the community all come together and realize who the fuck our enemy really is, then that probably would should have stopped. But as long as these white folks fucking eating off this shit, like news, entertainment, nigga, if a nigga stop killing the date, it won't be no fucking news on your television. You heard me? If a nigga just smoke weed,
in the situation, like, it's easy for them to say that. Like, you know, if I kill your boy or your family member or something, and then you kill one of my people and I kill another one of yours, if someone's not involved in that situation, it's easy for you to say that we should stop hating on each other. Like, we should stop the beef. Like, you didn't take the losses and deal what we dealt with. Like, who the fuck are you to say what I should fucking do? Like, you forgive people, motherfucker. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't know what, like, we just see it on the news. We don't know what's behind all that shit, man. Like, who the hell am I? I'm not in New Orleans. Who am I to tell those people to, make up, be friends? Like, fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying I approve of the murder or nothing, like, that ain't cool, but, like, who am I to say that they should squash their beefs, man? I don't know what that dude did to that dude and all that, you know what I mean? Like, they don't know what that shit's about.
All it is, niggas don't have no understanding, like, that's all it is. All they know is loyalty. They come from the heart. Like, you kill my partner, I got smoke yours. You kill my cousin, I gotta smoke yours. So that beef becomes a fucking, like, a tradition. Like, when motherfuckers grow up, they know, man, this is the nigga that killed my father's fucking family, man. I gotta do something, you heard me? Like, and that shit continues. So the beef ain't really never really over. It just died down, you heard me? So it's like, man, niggas ain't killing for hatred. Niggas killing for love, man. Like, real talk. And I don't hate you. I don't smoke you, but I gotta smoke you because you didn't smoke my family. One of the niggas that didn't smoke my people, you heard me? And you don't want no problem.
You just said the realest shit. People are killing over, they aren't killing over hate, they're killing over love, man. That's some real shit.
Over love, bro. That's all it is, man. Shit, man. You killed my fucking people, man. I don't gotta hate you, but fuck. It is what it is. Bitch, you killed him. I gotta kill you. It's like this. We don't have to understand it. When we come out of town, nigga, we don't even talk about who our real family members is because we know the situation. You know what I'm saying? We come out of town, we meet each other. That nigga would be from the night wall. I'm uptown. He could be from the night wall. But we going to be best friends out of town, you hear me? Out of town, nigga, yeah. We all we got. Oh, I ain't see a nigga from New Orleans. Like, oh, you the nigga from New Orleans? Man, what's happening? Nah, nigga, we ain't. Oh, where you from? I'm from uptown. We ain't about to name no street. No, nothing. We ain't about to be like who your people is. Really, too much money. Like talking about it. We gonna chill. We gonna, you know what I'm saying? Cause you know what the problem is. If we get to talking about such and such, you might end up being this and being this. Now we gotta kill all the love again. You know what I'm saying? Now we gotta kill all the love again. But we were friends out of town. But when we started getting to it and finding out that your people had people, my people, not me, your people, the earth. Like, shit like that. So when you come out of town, you're ready to go. You know, you get to talk, but you're ready to hit them. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But they know one thing. You my family while we out of town because we all we got right now. You feel what I'm saying? But I really never had no problem out of town to tell you the truth unless it was over a bitch. You feel what I'm saying? But, man, if they had better opportunities, bro, if they had better opportunities, if most of these rappers, niggas, enough rappers to come together instead of stunning on each other, real shit, instead of stunning on each other, I got this car, I got this wife, bitches, enough of y'all to come together for y'all to build your own military, for y'all to build your own fucking school, for y'all to build your own stores. Nigga, y'all can rebuild a fucking community, nigga. If y'all come together, you real talk. If all y'all come together, y'all can rebuild the United States, to tell you the truth. You heard me? Y'all can build all rebuild. All of
her, that's real shit.
I don't want to hear all that shit. Y'all niggas spend $100,000, $107,000 on a watch. You feel what I'm saying? And such and such on a car. Nigga, that ain't nothing to spend on, man. Bitch, I'm going to come together. What? Look, man, you going to come together. We going to build our own school. What the hell? Let's put that up, man. They're talking about a stone. I don't got time to stone on you, nigga. You my brother. You same color, bitch. You got. We don't got time to stone on each other when we got people. That's what they say. Never forget where you come from, nigga. Never forget where you come from, nigga. Because when you get to that money and you in that position where you got a lot of money, don't forget where you come from. Notice that when you was there, it was people that was helping you while when you was there. They ain't had as much money as you got now. But now that you there, go back and help some fucking people, man. Don't give a fuck if they gave you a dollar, nigga, when you was a kid. 14, bitch, go back and help them. Don't forget where you come from, nigga. Go back and help them. Buy that person a fucking business. Buy that person a business. Move around United States like a motherfucking monopoly boy, man. Stop buying cars, nigga. Fucking buy businesses, man. Move around this bitch. Own shit. You hear me? So the next generation can own shit, man. These niggas stupid with money, cut.
Man, when Jay said that shit, like, about flashing money on Instagram and shit, Jay-Z said that shit and people got mad at him. I understood what he meant. Like, brother, like, do something with that money. Like, you're just showing it to us that you have it. Like, people with money, they don't do shit like that. Like, if you really got money, like, do something with that shit. Don't just show us you got it and how you can waste it and buy dumb shit with it. Like, build some shit with it. Like, make your money work for you.
Is enough niggas around it. Everybody don't got to be a rapper. Everybody don't gotta be a rapper. Everybody won't be a rapper if y'all get more opportunity. And if the country ain't doing shit, well, I feel like, damn, this ain't my country. If the government ain't doing shit, I ain't doing shit, man. Fuck all that, man. Because then that we be waiting on the government, we'll never have shit. You know what I'm saying? But if y'all have the opportunity to do shit,
thanks.
Y'all niggas making like $20 million and spending a month. Y'all spending $3 million on a watch. $1 million will go making wages, cuz. $1 million will go a million fucking wages, you hear me? So if you spend $1 million on a watch, put y'all some people could have given you $1 million to open this shit up with people spending. Come on, man. Man, come on, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Man,
but y'all, man, come on, man. They're doing too much, man. Like, this world will never change if people don't come to fucking hell. That's why they say knowledge is power, man.
So here in a minute, I'm gonna plug so you can tell everybody where to find you online and everything. But before that, I just gotta ask you this question: your top three slim joints of all time?
Oh, boy, I don't got no top three. I bought every album from the first song all the way to the end.
What's your favorite album?
I go at order. You feel what I'm saying? Listen, I go to Give It to a Raw. I bump Give It to a Raw one day. I might bump a few months later, a few months after. I might bump years later. I might bump that BG and Soul to Slim. I'm bumping this from the first song all the way through. Every fucking album I'm bumping from the first song all the way through. You ever tell? Unless I might die. I hear Master P or Silk on the motherfucking song. I might just play Slim Talk. You hear me? And I'm going to kill Master P or Silk. Before the situation, I wasn't even listening to him. Well, all that bar here never rapped to me, so you heard me.
I'm glad you said that, man.
Nah, but I bump every Slim song, though. But if it do got P or Silk on that bitch, I'm going to listen to Slim Part, and I'm going to skip that shit, you hear me? But I'm going to bump every Slim, you hear me? But just let them know, if they listen to this, you know what I'm saying? I skip y'all motherfucking shit anytime they play. Nigga, a nigga pick Master P in the car with me. Nigga gotta turn that off. I'm telling them, son, I don't listen to Slim Bad to Peace. You heard me? This is straight off.
Man,
nigga,
I'm glad you said that, man. My boys, they know I feel the same.
But even if you ain't had nothing to do with my cousin, because my cousin died going down saying what he said and what y'all had between. So, you know, my cousin ain't here to clear that shit up. So, he died with that on his, so fuck, I'm rolling with that, you heard me?
Yeah.
I'm rolling with that, because we're here to clear that shit up, so if he never clear that shit up, it ain't no clearing that shit up, you heard me? Real shit.
Yeah. feel the same way. And like, what kind of motherfucker, like, you know, people say they want to get help C get out of jail. And his own brother, the next day he's out there trying to talk him out of it and shit. Like, who does that shit, man? That's corny as hell. Like, I go, no,
man,
I don't want to help
him. Hey, nigga, my cousin told me to talk my shit. So I'm going to talk my shit. You heard me? Pete, yeah, I heard you call. I heard you call my cousin. You heard me? When Pete just put that shit out, man, they going to kill me, boy. I swear to God. Nigga, better. You heard me? Nigga, when Pete put that shit out about you putting that hit on cuz, you heard me? You call my other little cuz, you heard me? Crying and shit. Samuel, do that shit. You heard me? Put your brother under the bus. Talking about, oh, yeah, your brother was the one. The reason why you and your brother got into it, because see, Murder, you heard me, see, Murder was trying to tell you to tell the police that Slim did the shit. How the fuck you put your brother under the bus over some shit that went viral on your stupid ass? You heard me? So you sitting there telling my cousin, my little cousin, that see, Murder called you to sit there and say, man, tell the people that Slim, that don't sound like he murdered the nigga I grew up listening to. Don't sound like this nigga. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, why would you throw your brother under the bus if you apologize or you trying to apologize for the rumor that got put out of shit? Why would you need to throw your brother under the bus when your brother don't got nothing to do with the fuck that just happened? You hear me? Your brother don't got nothing to do. Why would I need to feel bad? Or why would you need to throw your brother up? Nigga, this about the piece to say about the hit. Or whatever she said about that hit, that's what that's about. So what's the murder got to do with that shit? Why you putting the murder under the bus to make yourself look good in the time of being? You heard me? Real shit.
Yeah.
You heard me? Oh, man, some coming for you, bud. Man, no matter what the fuck you do, you can't hide, cousin. I'm telling you. You heard me? Revenge, a motherfucker. Revenge, I'm telling you. Tell about the rest in peace. You heard me? Tell about the rest in peace. Hey, I gave y'all some shit. That's a true story. Nigga, I kissed the ground and tell you, boy, P can't compete. P called that phone crime. You heard me? P called that phone crime. But he's like, I disappointed.
Just to make it clear, you're talking about, like, when there was a No Limit documentary on BET or something, I think it was. Some shit was going on. Peaches got online, said that P put a hit out on Slim. When that happened,
yeah,
you're saying that P called your little cousin. So are you saying that he called Little Soldier Slim? Is that who he called?
Man, I'm not saying that.
I'm just telling you. Okay, my bad. I thought that's what you said. I thought that's what you said. My bad, bro. Just the way you worded it, that's what I thought you were saying.
Put your brother on his bus, boy. Listen, y'all be saying this man an angel. You heard me? This man an angel, son. If you could sit there and put your brother under the bus over some shit, you feel what I'm saying? Picture why that man still in fucking jail. Nigga, you ain't trying to help your fucking brother, nigga. You just put him under the bus over just to make you look good. Man, y'all got to understand, man. Don't be looking at, oh, he like this, man. This nigga just put his brother under the bus. The same nigga that's in jail for life, nigga. You should be, your heart should be hurting. Like, you should be feeling sorry for your brother. Like, damn, I got to get him out. But instead of thinking like that, you just made him look worse. You made him look way worse. You hear me? Like, he calling out of jail trying to get you to do all, man, what the fuck going on, man? Oh, you a real nigga, though. You're a real nigga, though, but you're falling under pressure. You're trying to put your brother under the bus under pressure. Man, the industry a motherfucker. Look at it like that, and now you can understand why she murdered in jail for life. You hear me? Now you understand why she murdered in jail for life. If he was willing to put his brother under the bus just to make himself look good over the phone, picture how pissed that. Now you know the reason why she murdered in jail. She been put boys under the bus.
Man,
what? See, Murray don't even know that. Guaranteed, Murray don't even know that. That boy just trying to throw salt. You just trying to throw beef between us and T-Murda, basically, nigga. That's crazy. Hey,
man, there's a chance that this might blow up, bro. You know, like, you didn't hear that shit, man.
Okay,
it could get spread a little bit.
Nigga, it's a real life shit. I don't even think AT heard this stuff. You know, cuz, man, I don't even know why cuz told me this shit. I can't hold my mouth.
I've had a couple viral moments in my career, man. Like, somebody could hear this and blow this shit up. You know what I'm saying?
Man, they probably do blow this shit up. I'm just giving y'all facts, man. The Pete called crime, putting his brother under the bus. You heard me? He tried to say him and T-Murda got into it because T-Murda called him to tell the people that fucking Soulja Slim did that shit. You heard me? Soulja Slim did the murder. You feel what I'm saying? No, I really think you try to tell T-Murda say that Soulja Slim did the murder. You heard me? You try to tell man, but shit, don't never know. You know what I'm saying? Shit, wicked, boy. Shit, wicked in this world, boy. People, boy, I'm telling you, people is wicked. Hell, man, where you go, people? Where you like to go, boy?
That's crazy.
Man, put that, fucking read it. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, AT. Yeah.
I got your back on this 100%, man.
For real, man.
If this shit blows up, bro, I got your back, man. I'm going to defend you online if this shit comes out.
My AT is supposed to be living luxury right now. You know what y'all motherfuckers in cop block? Y'all do what it did, but bitch, when I come out, it's on. Real shit. It's on, boy. I ain't talking business with you. I don't want to do business with you. You heard me? I don't want none of that shit, dude. Bitch, when you come there, you go clean as every university, bitch. Yeah, you know what now. Fuck all that. You talking to the school.
Well, brother, look, man. I don't think we could possibly ended in a better way than that. I'm gonna give you the floor for a couple minutes. Look, man, tell everybody where they can find you online, man. And look, I mean this, bro. When you're dropping something, or anytime you need anything promoted, or you want to come back on or something, for real, bro, just hit my line. Like, what's mine is yours, bro. For real, I mean that.
Right, that's already you know I'm here. You hear me? I'm here. You hear me today? I'm here today just time, and you hear me? Then I'll be with cuz. You hear me? I'll be with cuz and my mom. But I'm gonna talk my shit. You hear me? You don't get one life. Life is eternal. I'm gonna talk my shit because all the knowledge I know, I'm coming back with you. Real shit.
Like I said, man, I got you, bro. Go ahead and give the people your handles, bro.
Instagram, all you got to do is put Brian Tapp, the rap name, Soulja Slim anyway. But just put Brian Tapp in there, man. I keep the tap, you heard me, just to let them know this shit real. You heard me? So Brian Tapp on everything, Facebook, so Instagram, you heard me? You know what I'm saying? Just, hey, follow me now so y'all can see what's about to pop off. You heard me? This shit's spiritual. Follow me now. And you know what I'm saying? You don't got too many videos out, but this year, for sure.
All right, man. Thanks again for coming on, man. And I'll stay in touch with you, man. You come back on here when you're dropping something, too, man. All right,
I got you.
Keep holding that soldier shit down, man. Take care, bro. You safe out there.
All right, you too, bro.
Stay dangerous, man. Stay dangerous.
You already know.
You have it, man. Soldier to Illuminati, man. You put some wild Mac Williams, man. That's my boy right there, man. Yeah. Thanks a lot, y'all, for having him on, man. That's Soldier to Illuminati. That's BRYANTATT on social media. You type that, they give you a little comment on Instagram. I think he's even on TikTok too. But he's on Facebook, everything, man. So, thanks for letting me do that interview, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, got a little,
no problem,
got a little crazy there at the end, man.
Yo, Eric,
when we sign off, you think you can call me real quick, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna put my number in your DM, in your messenger right now. Give me a call, man. I won't hold you up for long. I just want to talk to you up here.
Okay.
So, I'm gonna hang up, and you can go ahead and sign off and everything, and just hit my line as soon as you hang up.
Pat, as always, it's great for you being with us. Thank you again.
Man, I appreciate it, T-Max. You'll hear from me again soon, man. We got a little stuff coming up. Not this coming Friday, the following Saturday. I don't know. Not the week of Valentine's Day, but the following one, like the 21st or whatever. But, yeah, you'll hear from me again real soon. Thanks a lot, y'all.
Oh, yeah. So on that note, we got to be up out of here. Catch y'all again next Friday night. Same bat time, same bat channel. We out.
Yep, we out. Peace.